Welcome to the return of Eternal Flame News. I am your host, Jeremy Carrolly. If you notice, my hair is gone. It is 102 outside right now. 102 outside. I would show you the outside, but it's quite creepy here. I've been doing logistics for emergency services for the past week and a half, driving my wife crazy because I've been in contact with NOAA, I've been in contact with FEMA, I've been in contact with other services to assist those in need. Because with this extreme heat, we've had power outages. With this extreme power outages and heat, we've had extreme storms. And it looks like there's no end in sight to this stuff happening. So, we were without power for roughly about 3 days on and off. We went about 27 to 28 hours without power here in the Jameson Ministry Studios in Chillicothe, Ohio. Many things have happened since then through the wonderful power of cell phones. And while everyone else kept losing their cell phone service, I lost most of it. I was still able to stay on the internet. I don't know if it's because, you know, let's say I'm a veteran and that's a veteran phone or what the deal was. It was an act of God. I was able to take pictures and videos. There's a video on my Facebook wall of me being outside within an extreme amount of wind. I'd say about 65 to 85. Well, they're saying it was 85 miles per hour, this wind that I was in the middle of, which was quite creepy. Honestly, we did what we could to take care of the issues at hand and were able to move beyond the current circumstances that were happening. I just thought I'd give you a quick update on exactly what's happening, because this is so paramount. The hail, yeah, there was a lot of hail, and as I've noticed, the internet's gone out again. I'm not really sure what's going on, if it has to do with my cording or what. We're just going to keep on going. Hopefully this does record. It may not. I don't think it's going to. But nevertheless, we're going to keep trying. We're using a new camera. I realize that may not work. Everything's off for what I can see at most, but it's crazy. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull up for you guys. The wife wants me to show you the hail. Well, if the internet's not working, I can't show you the hail. I was going to share a screenshot image of what the hail actually looked like on that fateful day that we just had. Let me see if I can get this quickly to come up. It's going to take a while, so please bear with me as I am trying to pull up a few shots of what happened. Let me show you this one. This is the skies that were in Frankfort, Ohio. I thought you'd be interested in this. As you can see, it's quite dark and dreary. In the next slide, I do believe, yeah, there it is. The hail that was right here in the studios outside our front door. Quite creepy stuff. But anyway, is that all that you wanted me to share? Okay, we're going to get on to the program, schedule it as planned. I can't guarantee that we'll be able to upload this. I didn't bring the extra backup video, so what we'll end up doing is just have any generalized image when we make the video later, because we do have background audio podcasting for tonight. But I wanted to start with a story, because we didn't really have much of anything last week to cover. Chelsea Schilling has a breaking article that is quite creepy. She's talking about the normalizing of pedophilia. And I've heard this talked about at my college campus. I've heard it talked about at other college campuses, that if the homosexual community believes that they are born this way, we have songs like Lady Gaga that say is born this way. You know, we're being trained to learn in the media and through songs and whatnot that this is something that you're just born this way. This is just the way it is, or and whatnot. And what scares me is there are a group of pedophiles that are college educated. I'm talking about like at the PhD level, that want to associate this belief of homosexuals that say they believe they're born this way. Then why not pedophiles and murderers and rapists? Why are we all born to do these things? Which would take away the most basic need of a human being, which is known as freedom of choice, freedom of will, free will. Depending on which Christian belief you are, and even if you aren't a Christian, you either, in your choices, believe in predestination, meaning you believe it's already set in stone, that's how it's going to be. Others of you believe that you can change the destiny of your faith, and others of you just live for the moment. Well, and this is talked about with CNN by James Cantor, a homosexual psychologist and scientist for the Sexual Behaviors Clinic of the Center of Addiction and Mental Health. He's also an associate professor of psychiatry at the University of Toronto. Now, I've been looking at this very, very, very extreme amount of the psychological laws that keep being changed as we speak. There are laws all across the world that are trying to transform this from being a mental illness that it's just fine. Like they did with the whole sexual matter of urine and feces a few years ago and a couple of other things. They're even trying to change dissociative disorders and other characteristics of things that would be labeled as a mental disability illness. They're trying to say that these are normal behaviors. I'm not understanding their logic. Part of their logic is, well, there's so many large amount of people, so democracy says the majority rules. But you really believe this when it comes to pedophilia. I, myself, am horrified to think that we can live in a society that if anything is marginalized to the point of a majority, that it rules, that that's just the way it has to be. That means there's no moral character, there's no moral fiber in anything anymore. And then, on to another direction I want to talk about, and we've said this before, the phrase of, it's not your grandma's Democrat Party anymore. Well, Representative West is defending his claim that you can call it communism, progressivism, socialism, Marxism, statism, fascism, whatever you want to call it. He still defends that there are 80 different styles of people, otherwise known as communists or socialists, progressives, whatever, in the House. And he's saying about 70 about in the House of Representatives. And there's a video where he talks about this. And I know from my college campus, there are a lot of people that will come out and say, yes, we are progressive, we're not Democrat, we're not just going to endorse the Democrat Party, we're going to endorse independence and so on and so forth. This is something we have to wake up to, because if they're changing, what does the other side look like? Tea Party. Well, what are they doing? Then we look at this other side. The Occupy. We're living in a world today where youth of America have no idea what they believe, and they turn on Comedy Central to make a decision on what to do politically, or a cartoon, or they shook someone's hand, or because something's cool, because their favorite rap star says, vote for this dude, homie. Like, seriously? What happened to finding out why they believe what they believe, instead of it just feels right? I just have this great feeling. It feels cool because, like, you know, everyone likes me. Just recently, one of the big kids that spoke at CPAC, he's coming out now saying that he's no longer conservative anymore. They got a book out on him and everything. And he's come out saying, well, it's just not cool anymore. I think homosexuality's fine, and I think everything should just be this way, and this goes on and on and on. And it creeps me out the more that I see these things. Everything keeps changing. Speaking about change, GLSEN, this report by the Alliance Defense Fund, in support of an Illinois school that wants to discontinue the use of pro-homosexual materials in the elementary school. But my first thought in my head is why are we talking about sex to five? What's an elementary school's age again? 7, 8, 9, 10? What? Why do we have to kick? Why do we even have to have? Why did this even begin with? That's the first thing I'm worried about. It was a vote by 5-2 to stop using the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network's material. It was a toolkit, according to Citizen Link, that they were using about how clothes are different, and they use favorite TV storybook characters. such as Cinderella in knight's armor, or Spider-Man wearing a magic tiara. Like, what would Spider-Man look like wearing a dress? And he's still a man, and that's okay. I don't understand... Well, I do understand, because what I've seen too many times is that if they want to teach a belief at the youngest age possible, that's what the goal is here. This doesn't just happen in one school, it happens everywhere. Here's the quote from Tedsco. It says, "Public schools should not be coerced by outside groups into indoctrinating their students into homosexual behavior by exposing them to inappropriate sexual materials. Schools are supposed to be places of learning, not places where schools push propaganda on students." I have to understand that. Because at what point is sex education okay? Like, what age group? Do you really tell a five-year-old? I understand telling a five-year-old, no one touch your private parts. That's bad. That's what I was taught. Now, you got a graphic genitalia with someone poking it with something that said, don't let no one touch that. I was like, do we really have to go that far? Because if you had the next-door neighbor exposing himself and saying, now, Sonny, don't let no one touch through wiener, he would be considered a what? A what? I can't hear you. A pedophile. So in a sense, we're turning our medical field and our school system into pedophiles. And for me, being someone who was molested, I feel like I was verbally and audibly, you know, orally raped. I was raped by what I saw and I was raped by what I heard. Because if I'm a child, what choice do I have? Because kids are told to stay in their seats in class, don't get up without raising your hand. And what if your kid says, well, I don't want to hear this, and the teacher says, well, this is required teaching. Well, that doesn't matter, right? That's their goal, is to continue to change things. See, there needs to be a fine line on where, you know, this doesn't need to be taught at this level, to this degree. Understand protecting a child from abuse. Understanding that there are men that dress like women, I can see why you might want to say something, but it's going to a level that the way it's presented, it's only like one way. Like, if they're wearing these clothes or they're saying these things, that's the only way it can be. And that's what I'm worried about, when it continually goes down these crazy directions, that we have these things happening. Now, on a good note story that I want to share with you guys real quick, and hopefully this will work. You need to know about this. While we're having this big healthcare debate, we're having all these issues and whatnot or whatever, what if I told you there's a Christian pediatrician that's doing everything in his power to cut medical costs? You want to know what he's doing? It's a report released on July 1st about the Healthcare Cost Institute. First time in its study. Well, go figure that. That's part of our problem. Why are we trying to pass laws about healthcare when we don't even have complete studies on certain things to begin with? There's the fault and the fallacy of our wonderful world we know as the medical institution and our wonderful government. You need more studies and more truths and things to figure things out in the first place. Well, anyway, this is about kids up to age 18, you know, when they first become adults. He says, when a child comes in for an evaluation for depression or anything else, he doesn't automatically throw pills at people. He takes the time to see the patient longer than 15 minutes, which a wonderful Ohio medical group here loves to tell doctors they have only 15 minutes. There's the other problem. Doctors can't properly diagnose patients in 15 minutes when there are multiple things wrong with a child or an adult. Two, I commend this doctor for not just throwing medications at patients because he gets a free rider. Yeah, that's the thing. In the medical community, for those that make medicines, they'll give you free medications and discounts if you can prescribe X amount of pills to these kids, adults, It's not about the patients anymore. It's about the finances. I had an assignment just recently about this, and it really makes me mad that we keep running into these situations, and we keep running into problems. Speaking about problems, oh my goodness. You're going to love this, Brandon. What if I told you, and I know this for a fact, 70% of teens, this is a 2017 person survey funded by the security software McAfee, asking, what do teens hide from their parents? 70% of teens say they hide their online behavior from their parents. It was released Monday. This is on the 25th of June when it came out. That's up 45% from 2010. So the bigger question is, what are these kids hiding from their parents? 43% are looking at porn. Actually, 32, excuse me. 43% are looking at violent activities beyond R-rated, X-rated material, like beheadings and all this other stuff. 43% are looking at porn. 15 have hacked into social networks. 9 have hacked into email accounts. And 12 have actually met face-to-face with people they met on the internet, regardless if they're teens or adults. 16% have used their phones while in class to cheat on tests at school, either through an internet website or text messaging. Parents and students and teachers alike are apparently shocked and awed by this story. You're really shocked and awed that you have this extreme amount of power called the internet, and you're going to give it to your child who you're supposed to be responsible to govern and direct their life, and you think they're not going to exploit it? Give a child your credit card for a week and see how many come back with any money left on it. Don't say anything. Here's the credit card, son. Here you go, son. Here's a credit card. There's $3,000 on it. Oh, thanks, Dad. What do you think he's going to do? If you don't say any rules and boundaries on this stuff, that's the problem. Why we need to educate adults. Have no idea. And me being an IT guy, majority of adults in America have no idea about computer technology to a level of how to monitor what their kids are doing. There's computer software that can block websites, that can track instant messaging, they can track every single website they've been to. There's even programs that can track every single button pushed on a keyboard. And I realize a lot of parents can't afford all this stuff, but if you are one of those that can, I highly suggest you do it for the safety of your children. And this doesn't mean, kids, that we don't trust you. It's that we don't trust your friends. And we don't trust these people that you don't know that might be trying to hurt you. And if we're not in your lives, then how are we supposed to help you? If 70% of your life on the internet is hidden from your parents and your ministers and your friends of adulthood and responsibility, then you're like walking on top of water with sharks and piranhas under your feet. It's like walking on shards of glass. You're not going to be Brooke Shields in the 80s who walked across glass. You're not going to be, yeah, she walked across broken glass on this carnival thing I saw in the 80s. I remember it. It's really strange that I remember this stuff.
Are you talking about Circus of the Stars?
I think it was Circus of the Stars. You're right. It was Brooke Shields. She walked on broken glass. Then there's other people that walk on fire. I'm like, that's what they say. You're playing with fire. You are playing with fire. This is a dangerous, monumental moment that you have to wake up, kids. I know you think you're invincible. I thought I was invincible. But we're not invincible, unfortunately. No, we're not. There needs to be better things done to protect kids. And it comes down to, and I'm working on a paper right now. It's going to be published in my university, because it's a research paper. This paper is going to be written from a Christian perspective, without using Bible verses, because I was told Bible verses wouldn't be considered research. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be it's going to be quite eye-opening because it is about poverty and child abuse, and I have access to several databases that show everything anyone's ever said about these topics. And the thing that worries me the most are some of these quotes. Not just quotes, but not just personal beliefs, but how-to guides on population control. Or how-to guides to destroy Christianity. How-to guides to change laws and so on and so forth. And the more and more I dig into this research and stuff, I'm at the end of this. I got my last 4 pages to write. I've been doing outlining and all that kind of stuff. And it's got me to this point where I realize how dangerous power can be in the wrong hands. The responsibility of ethics in America has crashed a long time ago. Too many people are at the whim of a few people's judgment. We go around talking about we're not supposed to judge people. We do it every day at a higher level of academia. And in this level of academia, you're faced with quite a large amount of uncertainties. And you're supposed to question everything you believe and understand all that. I get that. You know, you're going to be exposed to things that are shocking and controversial. I understand that. But when the shocking and controversial no longer shocks you and is no longer controversial because you have conformed to the controversial belief, then how is that educating anyone anymore? How is this working to better the lives of anyone else? And that's kind of what I'm going to say in my paper, that there are things that we have done that are good for society. There are things that are out there that are completely dangerous to society, but I can see some valid points why you might think that would help. But my goal in my paper is to eliminate the problem of poverty and child abuse. And I actually explain, using psychologists, medical professionals, social work people, and even other ministers, including myself, what would need to be done to fix the problem in America. Because I chose America. Because America is dying. I mean, I had someone in my class the other day, and I don't know if he was mocking me or being serious. He says, "Do you think it's the end of the world?" I said, "Well, I just looked at the Drudge Report," and this is today, to respond to his answer again. 3,000 heat records have been broken in America. Over 4 million people without power. Now it's still 1 million. And it looks like we're about to have big torrential hurricanes and even more nasty storms to come. The Fukushima nuclear plant almost went on meltdown again. Massive earthquakes and tsunamis. I'd say the Bible's lining up with what's happening today, that there's rumors of wars and there are wars and there are things happening in society that lines up towards jumping off the cliff into the end of days, but we're not in the end of days. I tell my wife this and others, and they get shocked when I say this statement. I said, it's not bad enough yet. I don't take a sip of water and set it back down, saying, it's not bad enough yet. And he's like, are you serious? He's like, no. The Bible's real clear. It says like over a third of the earth will be on fire. Well, 3/4 of America is on fire. That's a pretty good start. Imagine half of every country in the world is on fire. You see the perspective? Not bad enough yet. You would have to have like a 10.0 earthquake that would cause a 10.0 earthquake to happen like 12 places in the same 12-hour period. That's what I'm talking about. Catastrophic insanity. Then maybe it's the end of days. Are we getting there? Yeah, because different countries and different ideologies and beliefs keep changing. You know, we're at this, it's like we have an extreme right and extreme left, and everyone in the middle is just voting for whatever's popular. You know who's extreme right and who's extreme left these days. It's interesting enough to point out, even an extreme right conservative person is falling for a lot of the things that are considered left. Because the problem is, if you're too far on one of these sides, you end up becoming something completely non-Christian and non-existent to want to survive your country, let alone your fellow citizens, our friends. Which leads me to this last story. Everyone knows that I'm a big fan of South Africa. Well, there's a South African party protest made in Israel warning. This was in Pretoria. I've been to Pretoria. Pretty nice place. I liked it. I remember these grocery stores we went to. They were called the Spazoramic and Spasmatic or whatever it's called. But the this is something that will shock many people. The African Christian Democratic Party, who has several members on a cabinet. There's actually two Christian parties. And there's more than that, but there's two big Christian parties in South Africa that are represented. They called to demonstrate after the Trade and Industry Minister Rob Davies' proposal to label imports entering the West Bank as made in Israel. This is a pro-Palestinian NGO, Open Shahada Street, and Palestinian groups in South Africa are lobbying for the proposal. Such products like soft drinks and technology are falsely labeled being produced in Israel, and they're actually in occupied Palestine. I'm disputing that the Palestinian territories are not legally and officially recognized in the world. What I have to say about this whole Palestine issue, and I understand the correlation between South Africa and Israel. Here it goes. 1948 is the beginning of the South African apartheid. 1948 is when Israel was started. This is why they're trying to merge, and there's a bunch of other things I can get into. It'll confuse you if I get too much into it. They're trying to merge Israel into South Africa and saying it's the same thing. The United Nations did give Israel land, which they did not have. All of Israel before 1948 was of Muslim descent from various different tribes. There were small little pockets of about a mile or so in circumference, about three or four places, where refugee camps was one of the terminology used for Israeli Jews. This is the problem that we're faced with. So it went from majority of the continent being Palestinian to then it becomes an Israeli nation. So now the argument's being is they're using the terminology that they're occupying Palestine. Well, Palestine throughout history has been all the way over into Egypt, even south past Egypt, all the way past Israel and the other areas. There's been an argument over Israeli population, Palestinian population, because it's gone both ways, depending on what time frame you look at this. And as this continually moves forward, they're going to want to transform, and what they want to do is remove all Jews from all of Israel. They don't, because the conversation is, you're occupying my land. And the reason why the talks that worked in South Africa are not working so great in Israel is because they are wanting everything. Each side wants everything. Now, a perfect world would say, here's Israel, here's Palestine, you all can live anywhere. You can live in Palestine, outside of Palestine. Well, that's not the way they want it. They want to do what they did in South Africa with Lesotho and Swaziland. Or that's their land, and you don't come in, blah, blah, blah. They want this completely closed borders. You can't come in, you can't come out. But you know what keeps extremely making this worse? Is there are Hamas and Hezbollah, otherwise known as terrorists, Palestinian terrorists, that are shooting rockets into Israel and killing innocent children. And then Israel goes and sets off a bomb, and it kills people too. And this cycle is never going to end until you both stop shooting each other. And I don't think you want to stop shooting each other. I really don't. Depending on which Israeli you talk to, which Palestinian you talk to, a lot of them don't want to stop the killing. They don't want to end it. Now, when you talk about kids, they'll say, oh, the kids are innocent. That's happening. But go tell Hamas and Israel cabinet at the same point, say, hey, you can go shake hands and be friends. You can't see it at this point. The Bible's very clear that when that day finally happens and they shake hands, you know, and this peace treaty's made. Now here's where I'm taking a step back. Here's a question I have to ask you. Should Christians not be for peace in the Middle East? Yes or no? Yes or no? Should Christians be working towards getting Hezbollah and Hamas and Palestinians and Muslims in general, knowing the fact that Muslims and Jews are actually brothers? If you look at the Torah and the Quran, they're brothers. The Bible is all about trying to show peace. And I understand that we need to protect Israel because they do rightfully deserve to have land. I mean, not having an official statehood until 1948 where Muslims ruled the whole area pretty much for that point for almost 1,000 years. Before that, it was Israel's land and they had it all the way over to Egypt. Creepy enough, we have the president, now president-elect, Egypt, of the Muslim Brotherhood, saying he's going to make the capital, not of just Egypt, but the capital of Islam, which I thought was Mecca. He wants to bring it to Jerusalem and put the cabinet inside the Dome of the Rock, because Muhammad was there. Christians, you got to wake up. That's the biggest focal point. The biggest fighting and the biggest peace treaty stuff's going to happen right in the middle of that Dome of the Rock, right in the middle of where they're trying to do the third temple at the same time. And then you got to go look over here to Iraq. What's the history of Iraq? Tigris and Euphrates rivers. That should ding a bell in some of your heads. Otherwise known as the Garden of Eden. Later on became Babylon. The real Babylon is in Iraq. We see that the great battle will happen in Iraq. Depending on what Christian belief you are, some of you say that when the Americans landed in 1991 and started fighting, that was when the Great War started. It's going to be 10 times worse than that, because you're going to have multiple countries partnering up with other countries. See, when we finally pull out of Iraq and pull out of Afghanistan and all these other countries, there's going to be groups of people in those countries that will be grateful to America. And they will be for America. And then there'll be another group that will want to go back to their old beliefs and want to destroy Israel and destroy America. It's quite simple. It's quite creepy. I'm worried that if we as Christians don't go beyond just a simple daily life of basic prayers and praying for the sick and all that stuff, we don't really get into the Word and see what God has for us today, we are missing out on the body of Christ. They need us. Here in America, people are starving and dying all the way to the Middle East, to Africa, to China, to India, Australia, all over the globe. God's people is crying out and asking for help. I don't know how many times I log into Facebook and someone from Uganda or someone from China or someone from somewhere is asking for help for the kids or for themselves and even here locally. And it's not just wanting food and shelter. I got people asking me for Bibles. We don't have any Bibles. I speak English. I understand the language. Give me American Bibles so I can teach them. This is the bigger picture that we fail to understand. Because I get many of you aren't in this position that I am in daily, where someone will message me, write me, whatever, and next thing you know, they're needing aid of multiple directions. We're looking at technology advancing. They think they found the God particle, the Hebbins particle, which is supposed to be theoretically known as the piece in the puzzle of everything that is given mass. So in other words, They believe they found what could be essentially the large ray or the shrink ray. That's the way I give an analogy for the sci-fi kids fans that I know. So, well, they got the power to make a shrink ray now. Because if this is truly a mass influxing, capacitating particle, and I know I just lost some of you guys there, I'm sorry. Supposed to be this particle, it's like, you know how we all have DNA, and we have X and Y chromosomes, so you know who's a male, female, all that stuff. Well, this gets even deeper than that. This is something smaller than that. Something smaller than an atom, and smaller than a nucleus, and smaller than an electron. It's smaller than that. And they believe they found this particle, which is supposed to be an imprint. Imagine this, it's a signature that's found on everybody. You know, let me give you a East Texan signature. In East Texas, they brand their steers with a hot iron. They do that everywhere. You know, the cows mooing and everything. It's got this hot thing. It's got a shape of a JMC. Imagine it says JMC. Stick it in the fire. Get it really hot. Comes out. Stick it on the cow's butt. And then it's left with this imprint. On the cow's butt says JMC, right? Well, imagine that there's something quite extremely small that you can't see without a big, massive electron microscope known as the God particle. And this imprint is on everything, living or non-living. Anything that has minerals, anything that has elements, compounds. It's supposed to be the thing that explains all things. And if it gets that far, they have a few more other theories they want to try and test. To where, essentially, if you've seen the show Star Trek, computer, I want a Dr. Pepper. And it makes a Dr. Pepper. That's what they're trying to get to. Teleportation, all this other stuff. They've already teleported light. I know this. We've even studied the 112th dimension of the universal complex on planet Earth. That just blew your mind. Like, the fourth dimension is time. Well, they believe they can inflect time to where you can actually go back in time or go further in time. All these things you see in sci-fi movies, they're trying to test and prove. A lot of them are true, but aren't public knowledge. That's the creepy part. Like I said, with great knowledge comes great responsibility. There's a lot of things I can't say on the show yet, because I have to verify the authenticity of things. And then even in some cases, I realize the public doesn't need to know that quite yet until I get some more information and learn some stuff. So I'm working on a few things that I'm going to be revealing soon. Speaking about revealing soon, we will be, once the storms of this extreme heat, I'm calling this storm heat, heat storm, which goes along with this extreme rain and lightning, and as you guys saw, hail. We had hail the size of my face. It was crazy. Once this finally calms down a little bit and I can have some time off from school in about 4 weeks, I'll be revealing some more stuff on the show. We are still working on the Cross Effects Church programming. Miranda is sick. That's why she's not here tonight. I'm actually doing this downstairs instead of upstairs in the office, because it's too hot. I'm probably going to leave everything sitting right here, because we're going to do a show tomorrow, probably right here. And hopefully she's well enough to chime in on a few thoughts. I'm actually going to probably head out here tonight, pick up a few items, and we'll see you soon. This has been Eternal Flame News on the 6th of July. I want to end about talking about our Independence Day. Independence Day has changed in America. It no longer it's become this hamburgers, hot dog, grilling, listen to fireworks. It's not about quoting, you know, it's not about great quotes from our wonderful founding fathers, you know. It's not about how we as a society have made a lot of mistakes. I can admit that. We made a lot of mistakes on how we got to where we are today. I'm not going to say we haven't. But we established some things in the beginning that allowed us to be able to create where we are today. So it's like a complete circle. the circle of life, as you want to call it. And within this circle of life, we have this independence to be able to have freedom. And when our freedoms are being questioned by other countries, organizations, or even people right here in America, you're put into a conflict. A day will come in America where Independence Day no longer has any existence whatsoever. Because if we keep going in the direction that we are, we won't no longer be America anymore. We'll be the blank Union or a whole new entity altogether with a new flag and new beliefs and a new constitution. That's the direction we're going. Anarchy and discord and hatred seems to want to take over America. And we must wake up to the reality and truths of where we've come from. Yes, we've made mistakes with slaves. Yes, we made mistakes with how we got here. But with the wonderful laws that we've created, we've been able to correct our wrongs and move beyond them. In some places in America, we're still struggling with hatred and racism and problems. But most of America is thriving. We are sustaining. We are moving beyond where we currently were. We've been poor. We've been homeless. We've been outcast. Americans have. But as even with this, what's called horrific jobs report, there's 80,000 new jobs created. So that means 80,000 people and entities said there's still chance for America. But we can do better. We can eliminate unemployment. We can fix the problems in society. But it takes everyone's work. Every American waking up and not only proclaiming your independence, but your freedom. Your freedom to want to make a better society. And that's the point, is leaving a legacy for those that are left behind after you pass away. We all die one day. What are you going to be remembered for? Freedom, independence, or anarchy and discord? God bless. And we'll see you soon.